Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Lead ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Takeoff 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
There goes the runner. Fly ball down the right field line. Tucker comes on. Kyle Tucker. This time they finish the job. The Houston Astros, world champions!
Less than 5 months after that final out in Houston, a brand new season of Major League Baseball starts on Thursday. This new season begins with a lot of intriguing questions. Can the Astros pull off a repeat? What feats will we see from Shohei Ohtani in his final year before free agency? And what does baseball's wave of new rules mean for the game?
I actually saw in spring training a left-handed hitter lace one to right field for a hit. And I'm like, where's the third baseman catching the ball?
For a hit?
Shouldn't there be a shortstop right there? Snag it right out of the air? Not anymore.
Today, baseball writer Eno Saris brings us the forecast for what 2023 could look like with five bold predictions for the upcoming year. From Wondery, I'm Tiffany Oshinsky. It's Wednesday, March 29th, and this is The Lead. Eno Saris, welcome back to The Lead. Thank you so much for being here.
No, thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure to have you on the show. So, Eno, we're going to get to your bold predictions in just a second, but first, continuing a tradition that goes back at least as far as last year, as a known beer aficionado, we have to ask you, what is your recommended beer pairing for opening day 2023?
Well, I'm actually going to be in New York having beers, and I'm going to be having a beer that I'm doing as a collaboration with Other Half Brewing.
Oh, I love Other Half.
And we're going to have a beer called Staring Into the Shift. I love doing collaborations because all I do is tell them, I want it to smell and taste like this, and I want it to be this much alcohol by volume, and you go do all the work, and I'll tell you how great you were, and you're done. But what I really like are these 5% hazy pale ales, because I'm a runner now, and I know exactly how many miles I have to run per beer, and that number goes down if the alcohol content goes down. So I like these 5% beers, and then if they're hazy, they have a little bit more body, a little bit more taste, and they're just great for like a summer's day, which we're approaching, and baseball. So that's my general recommendation, is get yourself a hazy pale ale from your nearby purveyor of suds. And if you can, get Staring Into the Shift from Other Half.
How many miles correlates to one beer?
Well, I've noticed that when I run about 4.5 miles, I only get rid of 2 beers. So
worth it.
I guess the math is a beer for every 2 miles or so. And that's rough. Because if you have too many double IPAs, now you're talking about a long run.
Worth every drop and mile. All right, well, let's jump into these bold predictions, which you recently wrote up for The Athletic. Let's start in the American League with a couple of guys who were on center stage at the end of the World Baseball Classic, Angels teammates Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani.
Ohtani's ready. Trout's ready. 3-2. Struck him out. Ohtani strikes out Trout, and Japan's back on top of the baseball world.
Now, you know, your first prediction is specifically about Trout, but it also relates to Ohtani. So break it down for us.
Yeah, no, Mike Trout has been hitting the ball harder and higher as he's gone on his career. He is a power hitter. It's in his prime in terms of hitting the ball hard.
Oh, he got a hold of that one. Well hit to left. And Mike Trout is homered in his fifth straight game. Got it. Almost knocked down the train up there.
But we also saw him strike out against Shohei Ohtani at the end of the WBC. And He said the word fun. He said it over and over again.
It's the most fun I've had on a baseball field in a while. Obviously, when I signed up, I was really excited. But being here in front of the crowd, chanting USA in the ninth inning and, you know, hitting a homer and seeing the guys all fired up in the dugout, this means a lot to me and just everything.
And I think what's missing from his career, from the back of his card, from his legacy, is the postseason. So he's always had this sort of increased motivation to make the postseason every season that he hasn't made it, because it's just been like, oh, you know, they have Trout and Ohtani. The Angels didn't make the postseason again. But this year is also the last year that Angels have Ohtani. And he said he's going to do everything he can to convince Ohtani to stay. And for me, that means hitting basically 50 homers, leading the league in homers, and showing Ohtani that they can do it together. So that's my bold prediction, is that Mike Trout sets a career high in homers and leads the league in homers this year.
Now, the Angels haven't had a winning record since 2015. Their last playoff appearance was a year before that in 2014. Is there cause for hope that this extremely important year for the franchise could somehow be different?
I'm a little worried about the bullpen, but sometimes you can put together a bullpen on the fly. One thing that they have done a little better than they have in the past is there's increased depth there. Bringing guys in like Hunter Renfroe and Giovanni Urshela means that if someone does get hurt, like Anthony Rendon in the past, they've got a credible major leaguer there. Their starting pitching staff is deeper than it usually is. So that emphasis on depth might help them get through some of the doldrums this season. But there's going to be a little bit depending on some random arms in the bullpen that need to step up.
So, as we said a minute ago, you're projecting Mike Trout to hit a career high in homers this year, but you don't have him winning AL MVP, and you don't have Ohtani winning it either. So tell us, you know, why you've boldly picked a different AL West hitter to bring home the MVP award.
I think we saw what happened to Willie Mays a little bit to Shohei Ohtani last year. There's an argument to be made that he was the best player in baseball last year. Of course, when Aaron Judge sets the new American League record in homers, it's easy to vote for him. And I'm not saying he shouldn't have won the MVP. But what happened to Willie Mays at one point in his career was people were like, well, we're just going to give it to him every year? You know, yes, he's like maybe the best player in baseball, but we're not going to give him the MVP every year. And so there was basically 7 or 8 MVPs that Willie Mays could have won that he left on the table. So I'm saying even if Ohtani is great this year, there's room for somebody new to step up into the limelight. Corey Seager on the Rangers, he was the left-handed hitter that hit the most line drives to the poolside, hard line drives.
Ball hit sharply out to right field. Altuve way out there is Soto first in time. And they just get Seager. Now there's a play we may not see a whole lot next year.
Yeah, that shift may go away, and this very, very well may be a base hit next season. I think
this year you have fewer defenders that you can have on that side. And so with the new rules against the shift, I'm predicting that Corey Seager will hit close to 300 again. And if he does that, he should hit for the power that he hits for every year.
And he hammers that one deep out to right field, and it is gone! 29th home run of the year for Corey Seager. And the Rangers take their first lead of the ballgame. It's 2-1.
And if he does that and the Rangers improve a little bit, now you're talking about putting together narrative with the numbers, and you're saying he's the best player on a team that's making the playoffs and that didn't in the past.
All right, so last year, Seager hit .245 with 33 home runs in the first year of a 10-year, $325 million deal. The Rangers made another big splash this offseason when they signed Jacob deGrom.
The hot stove is piping hot, and Jacob deGrom moving to the hot state of Texas, signing a 5-year deal with the Texas Rangers. ESPN reports the deal's worth $185 million over 5 years.
So, also, you know, this team only won 68 games last year. Why do you see things potentially changing for them in 2023?
Well, I think the big joke when they were signing bat after bat was, can they pitch? And in the meantime, they spent this past offseason adding all the arms. So it wasn't just Jacob deGrom. I think adding Nate Eovaldi was a big deal. John Gray last year. Now you've got a credible starting staff. And what I'm betting on is that some of the young guys in the minor leagues that have been working to get there, they can be depth when Jake DeGrom maybe has to sit. But when Jake DeGrom is healthy, you've got the best arm in baseball. And so I think in the meantime, they've made their pitching staff good enough to meet their lineup and be an all-around good team.
One more prediction from the American League. Last year, the Orioles won 83 games. That was their first winning season since 2016, which happens to be the last time they made the playoffs. Now, Eno, you're picking them to break that drought and make it back to the postseason this year. So tell us why.
To some people, it's not that bold to predict the Orioles to make it because they got kind of close and they were playing relevant baseball late in the season. And to other people, it is bold because they're projected to win 78 games and be a below 500 team this year. The reason I like them is if you're projecting a young player with no major league track record, what you're going to end up doing is lumping them together with all the other young players that have played before. And you're probably going to say he's not likely to be very good. But the error bars on that all skew towards being good. You know what I mean? It's not like an older player where if you're projecting them and then, oh man, he's playing older than I thought. The error bars are often in the other direction. But with a young player, there is what you call upside. And so the Orioles have Gunnar Henderson at third base. Behind their outfield, which is pretty good right now, they've got Colton Cowser knocking on the door. They have plenty of young players that are ready to step in. Grayson Rodriguez, maybe the best pitching prospect in baseball, just got sent down, but he's going to be back up again soon. So they've got this impressive collection of young players that are all coming together at the same time. And so this combination of a credible major league team that they built in the meantime with all this youth, all this upside coalescing right now in Baltimore. The big thing is you never know when that's going to gel. Is this prediction 1 or 2 years too early? Maybe. But sometimes you see a team just kind of get on the same page and graduate a lot of players and become good quickly. And I can see that happening for Baltimore this year.
They were definitely a fun team to watch last year. Now, moving over to the National League, the Pittsburgh Pirates have not been competitive for a while now, but they do have one of the most freakish talents in the game in their 6'7" shortstop, O'Neill Cruz. It's almost like an oxymoron there. Mm-hmm. For anyone who hasn't seen this guy play, can you just tell us about some of Cruz's exploits and your prediction for him this year?
There might not be a better athlete in the game. I think it's either him or Shohei Ohtani are the best athletes in the game. And my evidence for this is pretty simple. No one hit a ball harder than O'Neill Cruz last year.
Whacks it to right field. That is going to hit hard off the wall. Look at that. Bounce right back to Acuna, who barehands it off the wall in a split second. 122.4 miles an hour. That is a missile.
He also threw the fastest throw across the infield.
And a roller, Cruz. Whoa, my goodness.
How about that arm?
Cub fans who are watching this will think about Sean Dunston.
Yep.
That was a clothesline. And Chavis, we think, wow, that was a laser.
Oh, and by the way, he's in the top 5th percentile of sprinters in sprint speed as well.
Hoy Park drives one to left field, enough to bring home a run, you would think, with Cruz headed toward the plate. Good throw, but he's just too fast.
He's one of the fastest players in the game. He hits the ball harder than anyone, and he throws the ball harder than anyone. There is one asterisk on his ledger. He does not make contact. And so what I'm thinking is, over the course of this past year, you saw some of his swing decisions improve. This spring, his strikeout rate improved. And just that one little bit of improvement in the strikeout rate could bring the whole thing together. And he can be the superstar that his underlying talent suggests he can be. He's projected to, you know, hit 20, 25 homers, steal 20 bags, and have a 230 average because, you know, we're looking at strikeout rates and saying, you know, he can't do it. I'm saying he can do it. I'm saying he's going to put it all together this year. He's going to hit at least 280, and he's going to have a 30-30 season. He's going to break out. When was the last 30-30 shortstop? We're talking A-Rod territory. And this is a guy who looks like A-Rod. He's 6'6" shortstop who hits the ball super hard and runs super hard. So that's my prediction for this year, that O'Neal Cruz will hit 30 homers and steal 30 bags and break out into the national consciousness.
Now for number five on the list, we're staying in the NL but heading west. You know, you've made the bold claim that the San Diego Padres will have the best pitching rotation in baseball this season, even though Fangraphs is projecting them for just the seventh best rotation. Why are you so much higher in San Diego's outlook than some projections?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. They ended last year as the ninth best starting rotation in baseball. And as you said, Fangraphs has them about like the seventh best rotation in baseball. There's a couple things that I see that maybe they don't see in their projections. First of all, I've got a number called Stuff Plus. And Stuff Plus basically looks at all of the physical properties of a pitcher's pitches. So release point, movement, velocity, all that's in Stuff Plus. And so we've used Stuff Plus to make projections. And in those projections, we have park factors and aging and put in some of their normal results as well. And when I summed that up for everybody, the Padres were starters, had the best ERA in baseball. And the reason I think this is true is that they've really worked hard to improve their depth. Now, my model really likes Yu Darvish. It really likes Joe Musgrove, and it really likes Blake Snell. But in the meantime, the Padres have also added Seth Lugo. Adrian Morahan has gotten healthy. Nick Martinez is a legitimate starting pitcher on that back end. They traded for a guy named Jay Groom. They have a bunch of depth now that they didn't have before. So if Yu Darvish has to take a break, if Blake Snell has to take a break, they have quality other starting pitchers that can step in and bring that depth. So I think that's the reason. As much as the top end is the reason, the bottom of that rotation is part of why I believe in the San Diego Padres this year.
Last year, the Padres won 89 games and reached the NLCS after knocking out the rival Dodgers. You believe their pitching is going to be great, and we know that they have some serious bats with Manny Machado and Juan Soto, plus before too long, they'll be getting back Fernando Tatis Jr. from injury and a PED suspension. So taking all of that into account, how good do you expect the Padres to be in 2023, and how do they stack up against the Dodgers?
I don't know if this is a bold prediction. I don't know if I'm off my rocker, but that Tatis wild card is enough for me to say the Padres are going to win the NL West. Ooh. And if the Padres are going to win the NL West, if they're going to stave off the Dodgers, I think that makes them capable of staving off anybody else. So I've got the Padres going all the way.
Bold prediction.
Yeah, I guess it is bold then.
Okay, coming up, a look at which new rules will impact the fan experience the most, and Eno's picks to reach and win the World Series.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used, because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
When you choose Organic Valley, not only will you be enjoying great-tasting dairy, you'll help to save over 1,600 small organic family farms who are protecting over 400,000 acres of organic farmland and all the plants and animals that call it home. This is dairy you can feel good about. It's great tasting, high quality organic dairy, ethically sourced from small organic family farms. To find Organic Valley Dairy near you, visit ov.coop. That's ov.coop.
Well, Eno, we wanted to quickly get your thoughts on the rule changes that are coming to Major League Baseball. Obviously, we don't have time to break all of them down, but which new rule do you think fans are going to like the most? And which one do you see potentially being the biggest source of frustration?
Actually, the same rule.
Perfect.
I mean, it's just going to be something that's going to be very divisive for people. The pitch clock is here to stay. Mm-hmm. And early on, we saw a lot of problems and we saw a lot of violations from the pitch clock.
He's out.
They have called strike three. Wow. This is mayhem. Oh, automatic strike three called with the bases loaded in a tie game in the bottom of the ninth. This is baseball in 2023.
We saw a fair amount of belly aching in the fandom.
And there's been a lot of different opinions about it. I think it sucks. But let's ask real baseball fans what they think.
And I am 12.
Have you played baseball?
Yes.
You've also heard about the MLB pitch clock. Have you been watching it?
Yes, I have.
What do you think of it?
I think it's not good.
You can cuss if you want. Please don't.
Bullshit.
Let's go!
People didn't like that baseball, which is not a timed sport, suddenly had a timer. And I can totally feel you on that. However, I've tried to go to games as a fan as well. I've taken my children to minor league games, and they really liked the pitch clock because it kept them engaged. The game is more fast-paced. There's less standing around. They've cut 15 to 20 minutes of standing around out of the game. And so the frustrations, I think, will go down over time. And on top of that, the infractions will go down. What we found in the minor leagues when they started, there was two infractions a game. By week five, it was a half infraction per game. That's about the same as in football as a delay of game violation. So I don't think that anybody says that the delay of game violations are ruining football. And I think by May or June, people will have decided that the pitch clock is not going to ruin baseball and in fact has made it a little bit more enjoyable to watch.
I am pro pitch clock with you as well. Now, with opening day, as we said, coming our way on Thursday, let's take a minute and project way down the line. Obviously, a lot can change, and we aren't going to hold you to this. But who do you like to reach the World Series out of the American League this year?
Out of the American League, I'm going to take the Blue Jays. They did some cool things in the offseason that I think went right to some of their weaknesses. They got more left-handed. They were a very right-handed team. They improved their defense by adding Kevin Kiermaier in center field and a couple other moves that they made. And then lastly, they added bulk innings in Chris Bassitt. And sometimes people get really caught up in the quality of those innings. But I went and looked. And if you just look at how many innings your top five starters pitch, that's positively correlated to winning overall. It just means you're using fewer pitchers from the minor leagues. You're using more established arms. And with a lineup like the Blue Jays have, I think Chris Bassitt giving them 170, 175 innings is what this team needs to make it all come together. So a real veteran rotation, really good bullpen, awesome lineup, improve the defense, improve the handedness factors, and added a horse.
All right, well, flipping over to the National League, you mentioned the Padres earlier as a team with the potential to go all the way, but just so we have it official here, who's your pick to win the NL pennant?
I'm going to pick the Padres to win the NL pennant, and I think the Tatis is the big wild card. Tatis is one of those talents that just makes you shake your head.
Softly lined and caught by Tatis up into the air. A spectacular catch by Tatis. Times his lead perfectly and brings it in.
You are a cartoon character, kid.
Tatis is what we might hope that O'Neill Cruz becomes.
Fernando drives one to center field. Pavin Smith is back. Third home run of the night for Fernando. The trifecta for the Nando.
Tatis is that guy already. You know, he's already the guy who throws the ball hard, runs real fast, hits the ball real hard. And yes, these injuries and the PED suspension are a big question mark.
Matt, we show that big four of the Padres. The huge piece of that is Fernando Tatis Jr. He can take part in spring training, but cannot return from his suspension until April 20th.
But that sort of addition, to have a team that was as good as they were last year and then say, oh, and we can add Fernando Tatis to this, I think is the kind of math that I'm doing in my head when I say the Padres are going to win it.
Love it. So finally, Eno, as of just before opening day 2023, aka way too early to decide this, you said you got the Blue Jays, you got the Padres. Who is your World Series champ?
Padres take the Blue Jays in six.
Woo!
Once you get to the postseason, once you get to a short series, the numbers that I've looked at suggest that bats matter more. And I know that the Blue Jays have a really good lineup, but I think that the Padres, if they can get clicking, they've got Tatis, Soto, Xander Bogaerts, Manny Machado. It's one of those lineups that can just keep going. A guy like Jake Cronenworth might be their seventh hitter or something. He's hitting tanks this spring. That lineup could be one of the best in baseball, and I think in a short series becomes even better.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for breaking all of this down, Eno. Looking forward to trying that other half, Hazy Pale Ale, and, you know, enjoy opening day, man.
I will. New York, I'm coming.
You can find a link to all 10 of Eno Saris's bold predictions at theathletic.com and hear him on the Rates and Barrels podcast wherever you listen. Okay, that's it for today. This episode was produced by Matt Straub and edited by Anders Kelto. Production assistance by Adrian Tapia. Fact-checking by Charlotte Edmonds. Sound design and mixing by Joe Richardson. The rest of our team includes Aaron May, Daniel Gonzalez, and Ian Hurley. The Lead is executive produced by Dave Easton, Marshall Louie, and Jen Sargent for Wondery. From Wondery, I'm Tiffany Oshinsky. We'll be back on Friday.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Lead ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. And before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
This episode is brought to you by the effortlessly scrumptious bite of Skinny Pop Popcorn. Imagine this: perfectly popped, endlessly delicious kernels, a symphony of just three simple ingredients, popcorn, sunflower oil, and a sprinkle of salt. No compromise, just pure snacking freedom. And hey, if you're up for a twist, dive into flavors like zesty white cheddar to sweet and salty kettle. Every bite's a delight, light and oh so tasty. Shop Skinny Pop now.